If you've been around very long at all, you know that if something appears too good to be true, it usually is. Whenever you watch TV, you are inundated with advertisements. If you read magazines, it's the same. Even if you don't do either of those, you can see billboards in Vandalia and just about everywhere else. And as you wait in line at Walmart or Dollar General, you see those items on the front shelves that proclaim to have the answer for just what you need for that low, low price, for that problem that you have that nobody else has figured out an answer to, but these guys have, and it's all granted to you for that low, low price. Sometimes those devices can work, but usually if it sounds too good to be true, it is. If someone were to talk to you about one of these products, you might say, "I'll believe it when I see it." That's what society has taught for years, isn't it? That seeing is believing. That's what liberal theology says as well. If we can't see it happen today, it could not have happened back then either. If wooden staffs cannot physically become living serpents, then it must not have happened back in the book of Exodus either. If you can't survive in the belly of a fish today, Jonah must not have been able to do it either. If virgins cannot give birth today, Mary must not have been able to do it 2,000 years ago either. So what if someone coming back from the dead? The premise of this is so unbelievable that the plot of the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes film a few years back was about this very topic. The villain had been tried, hung, and yet suddenly reappears. There's only one man for the job, Sherlock Holmes. To Holmes, it is inconceivable that this man came back from the dead. If someone were to ask a genius like Richard Dawkins, who had been tried and, if it were possible, he would likely deny it. That's the premise of a Lutheran satire YouTube video as well. It has Hawkins arguing that it's impossible for someone to come back to the dead, to which Donald and Connell, the Lutheran twins of theological wisdom and wit, reply, "That's why it was such a big deal when Jesus did." We'll continue to explore these thoughts as we look at our gospel text for this morning from Luke chapter 24. Now, just prior to our text, Jesus had walked with some of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He had talked with them about the recent event of his death. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Following that, he broke bread with them. The disciples recognized him, and he disappeared. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and frightened, and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. We'll pause there. What was the reaction of the disciples to Jesus' appearances? In the first appearance, their eyes were catched from recognizing him, according to verse 16. They only recognized him when he broke the bread with them. But what of the second time that he appeared to them? They were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Even once they saw Jesus, they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling. The disciples could not believe what they were seeing, and understandably so. Coming back from the dead is not and was not a frequent occurrence. Yes, Lazarus and the widow's son had been raised, to name a few, but it still wasn't a frequent event. But do take note, the disciples saw Jesus himself standing with them, yet they did not immediately believe it. Some might think it hard to understand that the Israelites walked through the Red Sea and then returned to sinning. The question they pose is why? Why didn't seeing cause them to believe? Apparently, it just doesn't work that way. Isn't that what we heard from Jesus talking to Thomas last week? Didn't Jesus say, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." He said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus gives his disciples one final proof to prove that he is truly standing there in front of them. He eats right in front of them. Apparently, the food did not pass through him and land on the floor. I think they would have recorded that if it had. No, Jesus instead kept the food down and then continued to preach to his apostles. In speaking his word to them, Jesus gave them the ability to believe what had been taught about him in the scriptures, that he had to suffer and be crucified for their sins, and that he had risen again, just as he said. Again, it was not seeing him alive or watching him eat that finally opened their minds. It was his speaking his word to them. Even for us, Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins, mine and yours, and his resurrection from the dead sounds too good to be true. We cannot believe it by simply seeing it, even if we had. No, the Spirit works through his word to create and sustain that faith in us, in me, and in you. That's what Jesus reminded them that he had been teaching them. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Jesus continued, You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus told the apostles they were his witnesses, despite having just shown them that they did not believe from seeing. They had all seen what had happened in Jesus' life, his ministry of preaching and teaching, healing and raising. Yet they had not understood these things when they had seen them. Once he was raised from the dead, Jesus opened the scriptures to them, showing how they proclaimed his coming and what he would do twice. Once on the road to Emmaus, and again here in our text. While they had seen what had happened, Jesus only here calls them his witnesses, because it is only here that they understood the fulfillment of the scriptures and what it was that they were to teach and to proclaim. They were to teach and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Today, you and I have been called by the gospel to be witnesses of these things as well. And like the apostles, it doesn't matter if we have seen Jesus' ministry while he was here or not. What matters is we have heard and believed the testimony about it. We believe and confess what Jesus has said, firstly, that we are sinners by nature, and that we can do nothing to help ourselves out of this state. And that because of being sinners, we have sinned against God and against one another in real, painful ways. And God opposes the proud. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So we confess. We confess, and when we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then secondly, we are called to proclaim the good news of the gospel, the good news that Jesus has paid the price for our sins. And because Jesus has paid the price for our sins, God has declared that he will remember them no more. Jesus has paid the price that we rightly owed, and we are forgiven for his sake. You and me, we are forgiven for his sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.